you're looking for one of the most beautiful and playable custom acoustics on the planet, look no further than Ed Rice at Toe Ear Guitars. Ed is a true artist, transforming exotic woods into magnificent, sweet-sounding instruments. Go to toeearguitars.us, that's toeearguitars.us, and contact Ed today.
Hey everybody, Brad and I want to say thank you for listening and thank you for the support. Please continue to listen and share this podcast on all platforms that you can.
And if you'd like to support us monthly, we're set up now where you can go to anchor.fm/Top Hill Recording, hit the support button, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now back to the podcast. Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 110. What's up, Neil?
What's up, man?
I don't know, man. I called you earlier today and got a text a little bit later, said I've been asleep.
I've been napping all day. It's a rainy, nappy day.
Yeah.
And I have been all for it. I'm not a napper.
Yeah.
I never get like good anymore. I don't get good sleep. I can't sleep. So to get some good naps in.
Yeah.
I probably only slept for about 14 minutes. I don't know, but it, you know.
Well, you know, that's how I am. If I lay down and take a nap, all I got to do is fall asleep, even if it's just for 30 seconds. If I get up, I'll feel better.
Yeah. That's wild.
Well, we got a great guest here tonight. We've got Evan McMillan. Welcome, Evan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
I was wondering if you're going to say McMillian.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think $1 million, you know, Evan McMillian dollars.
I think that's the McDonald's Monopoly game. The McMillions.
Well, tell me about this big granddaddy bottle you brought us, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. So, my buddy JR on the mail route.
Yeah.
He's been listening to the podcast. He'll be on this one, not on it, but he'll hear this in about 6 months when he catches up because he listens from the first one to the end.
He just started listening, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And we got to talking about a lot of bourbon, man. He's like, man, he shows me all his cool bourbon that he gets because he's one of the guys he'll go to the distillery and, all right, Wednesday is the, you know, the Taylor release. I'm going to go grab that. So he'll do that. So I walked in, he was showing me his grab of the day and he had that. And as he was leaving, he said, here, take that. I said, what? He's like, yeah, take that. So it's a...
So, you know, I guess it's the shape of the bottle, but the 1.75 liter Woodford Reserve looks way bigger than other 1.75.
I know it.
I mean, that looks like a...
So yeah, dude, he gives me a 1.75 liter of Woodford to take. And I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be on the podcast, man. And we actually had a podcast that night. We were going to drink it, but we got two bottles brought in, so we saved it.
Yeah. Well, cheers. Yeah,
cheers, man. Thanks, JR.
Cheers, Evan. I know you're not having any bourbon with us tonight because you got a long ride home, but we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, guys.
And Evan, before we get going with you, we just want to talk briefly. We just had our first Top Hill Presents at the BA Colonial, and man, yeah, what a good time.
That was awesome, wasn't it?
Dusty Bow and Turn 3 just killed it. I'm ready to go back.
It was, the response was great.
Yeah.
Great response, a lot of people. And I think it was a great mix of, you know, those guys brought people, we brought people.
Yep.
I wonder if anybody just wandered in on it and was like, you know what, this is pretty cool.
I don't know, we talked about that. You know, I don't know if I know they had a sign out in the courtyard, but
Dusty Bow probably wasn't playing though.
They probably need to put it was Gusty. They probably need to put a sign out on New Cut Road.
Something.
When they have live music. Little easel.
You know, when we originally went, we had some concerns with kind of the atmosphere of the place. It was cool. It was very cool in this history of the building. But I think the atmosphere was created and it was a great, great time.
Yep, a lot of fun.
You know what else I thought about next time? What's April?
April 14th is what we have penciled in right now.
So yeah. April 14th is the penciled in date.
But this podcast is coming out April 15th.
That's fine. But well, then hopefully April 14th, that door will be open. We'll know by the time this podcast comes out if that garage door was open and the deck's
outside. Yeah.
Because that deck and play, I think you get more people hearing music, which will bring more people up. But also, man, that's more people in that room watching the music.
That'd be cool.
And you know what else?
What?
People listened to the music.
Yeah.
They paid attention to the songs. The songs were on. They listened. They clapped after every song. It was exactly what we wanted.
Yep.
You know, Evan, sorry to kind of keep rambling, but
oh, you're good, man.
as a musician, you know, I'm sure it's important to you that if you're going to play your original music and you know, all original music, you want to be heard. You want to people to listen to the words and respond at the end of it. And
yeah.
For us to, well, for the audience to do that, I think it just made it even better night overall.
Especially for solo acoustic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Evan. Well, man, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've been looking forward to this. And then we always start with the same question. So we're going to ask you to go back to childhood and share your earliest memories of music. And then at what point did you realize you were going to make music a really big part of your life?
Yeah, man. The earliest memory I can think of is probably like, I was like 4 or 5, and we were in the car with my grandma and my cousin on their way somewhere. And do you remember the band The Fray from the early 2000s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think that album just came out, their, you know, debut or whatever it was. And I think it was like Over My Head was the song.
Oh, that's
that came
it.
On the radio. And I never really paid attention up to that point because, you know, I was only 4 to 5. But
yeah,
once I heard that, I was just kind of like, man, it's pretty.
That one caught your
cool.
attention, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and about a year or two after that was my first concert, was The Fray at Riverbend.
No
Cincinnati.
Kidding.
So that was cool.
So who took you to see The Fray when you were 6 or 7 years old?
That was my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my mom. She took me and it was a good time.
That's pretty cool.
But I can remember of it, you know, it's been so long, you know.
Yeah.
But
at what point did you decide you wanted to play guitar?
I mean, I only started playing like, it was right after I graduated high school.
Really? Okay. So you didn't start early as a child.
Yeah, it was like fall of 2018.
Okay.
I graduated in 2018 and then like it was probably August or September, I think, something like that when I started.
Okay.
The person that taught me was my grandpa's half-sister. Mm. He didn't really know his dad too well. Well, it turns out that side of the family, you know, really played music a lot. And,
really?
She's a songwriter, and then his real dad was a fiddle player.
Huh.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Finding that out once I started playing, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what made you want to play at that point?
You know, I just started getting into, you know, singer-songwriter type of music, you know, like I was 14 or 15, I started getting into Bob Dylan and Blaze Foley and Jackson Frank and guys like that. And eventually just built up to where I'm like, man, I need to start playing. I want to learn these songs, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Before the podcast started, I did want to sneak in there to, and I was like, dude, you got a great voice. So were you always just singing or around the house or any of that stuff?
Secretly to myself, pretty much, you
all
know.
Right.
But, you know, I guess it started out me trying to emulate like certain songwriters I admired, you know, trying to, that's how I found my voice eventually, you know, try to sing. And,
okay.
Like, you know, Raylan Baxter, Justin Townes Earl, you know, Andrew Combs. Those are some of the guys that I.
Okay.
Learned a lot of their songs, you know.
So you've done, I guess, really a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. That's not too long ago, 2018.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much in the course during the pandemic, that's when I first started writing.
Okay, so you're just now getting into the writing fold, huh?
Yeah, it was only like February or March, like right when the pandemic was starting, you know, is when I started writing. I wrote my first song around that time.
Wow.
Okay.
And before that, I mean, it was like, while it was like my first few years of college, I would just like write a line maybe every few months, and it didn't really amount to anything. And then finally wrote my full song, you know.
So when you would come up with a line and, you know, actually write it down in college, were you attempting to write, or were you just, hey, that I don't know where that came from, I'm going to write that down real quick?
It's pretty much like that. I just write it down real quick. And
so no intention to like complete a song, just kind of writing down thoughts?
But you heard something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, that's a pretty natural, organic way of coming to it, you know. But having the knowledge to go, I'm going to write that down, that's good too. Because you can always go back to that. How many of those original, I'm going to write that down, has ended up into a full song?
Oh, man. I guess none really in that time. Okay. I might go back to them. I mean, there's some notebooks I haven't gone through since.
Oh, you'll always go back to them, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, eventually, I always find myself going through my notes on my phone or, like, an old notebook and try to, whether it's, like, a word or a line itself, you know, try to see if I can bring it back, you know. It's hard to come back to, like, the longer you wait, you know, I've found.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you never know.
So, did you write any, I mean, did you write through high school, like, poems or anything like that, or?
No, not really. I was always interested in it, but I never really, you know, sat down. I was like, okay, if I write, it won't be worth a crap, you know. It was always that mindset, but eventually I was just like, I'm going to do it anyways, you know.
Just being, at that point, you're just a listener of music. You're not playing.
So you said you were listening to like singer-songwriter type music. Were you going out to watch live music or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like around that time, I think probably a year or two before I started actually playing, I would go to like festivals and just different little concerts, like at Southgate House in Newport, or I went to Forecastle in 2017. That was another early one. First time I was ever in Louisville or in the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bunbury Music Festival was another one of the early ones. And, you know, just around that time, probably 16 is when I started really going to shows. And,
okay.
I mean, at one point, I think before the pandemic, I would go to like 3 or 4 a week almost.
Oh, man. So you were watching a lot of live music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you seek out like a solo acoustic type artist, or did it just a little bit of everything?
I guess mostly solo acoustic, but I would do it a little bit of both, you know. If it was a band I really liked, or, you know, a songwriter I really liked, you know.
Mm. Is there like a live original music scene? And you're in Northern Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there a pretty good scene up there for that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I don't think people are too knowledgeable about it. You know, it's kind of, you know, just in that area. But, I mean, like the Southgate House is really in the middle of all that. Everybody comes through there. Anybody that I really admire. And, you know, Jeremy Pinnell's big up there. And, you know, Jay Skaggs, and he goes around the area.
Oh, Jay.
I mean, it's a really cool little scene, I think, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people love music around that area, you know, especially Cincinnati. And
you told me you're from California, Kentucky, and I'd never heard of California, Kentucky. Really? Had you, Neil?
No, just now. Yeah. I was 42 years old when I heard of it.
Is that a small town? Or
It isn't. I guess you can't really even consider it a town anymore. I mean, at one point, like, I think before, like, the flood of 37, there was, like, a decent amount of, like, you know, little historic things in the area, and then that pretty much just wiped out.
So you guys are right on the river then?
Yes. I'm off Route 8. It's kind of like probably like a half an hour from Cincinnati. And then if you go the other way, I'm probably like a half an hour to Augusta, 45 from Maysville.
Can you see the river?
Yeah. Yeah, like right around this time of the year, you can definitely see it.
Yeah.
You look through the tree line, you can kind of see it like from the top of my house, you know, on top of the hill.
Nice.
Yeah.
Once you started playing guitar, I'm assuming that your go-to would be some of the singer-songwriter stuff you were coming up listening to, like Bob Dylan and those guys, Justin Townes Earl. Did you ever play and sing in front of people? Did you play out ever?
I think like the first time I ever played in front of somebody was probably late 2019, maybe like the fall of 2019. That's when I started. I was playing in front of a friend of mine just a few times, and he's like, you know, you should probably try to go into an open mic or something, you know, just to play in front of other people. And eventually I did that. And
how nervous were you?
Oh, it was bad. It was, oh man. I'm already like kind of nervous anyways, you know, just doing that with my friend, you know, even though I knew him for so long.
And
you
that's
know.
Worse. Yeah. That's worse than doing it in front of a room of people, man. Doing it in front of, like, it's too intimate. You know that person.
Yeah.
Listen to these words I wrote. Things I did.
It's like even my first, I guess, technical first gig or whatever I had was like a half an hour set opening for a band. And there's probably like, I want to say maybe 50 people there or something like that. And of course, I knew probably most of them. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely nerve-wracking, you know?
Yeah.
So if you didn't start even singing in front of somebody until late 2019, the pandemic was February, March 2020, how many chances did you get to play out?
I think I went to the open mic. There's an open mic in Alexandria, Kentucky I started going to. Alexandria Brewing Company, and I went there for probably, I went there maybe 5 or 6 times over a span of weeks. It was like, I think it was Thursdays. I would go like after work or something and do it, and then kind of stopped for a month or two, and then right as the pandemic was starting, I went to one, and then after that, they shut it down, you know?
So I'm sitting here trying to remember. I can't remember if Evan, it seems like Evan might be one of the Instagram profiles you sent me, but I know I saw a video. So when did you start videoing yourself and putting that on socials and things?
I did 2 videos just like in my kitchen or whatever, 2 songs I wrote. And I think I was like just the first ones I put up. It might have been a year ago, something like that. Maybe, I think probably was a little less than that. But I was like, I just need to post these songs just to get them out there, you know, because since open mics were kind of halted for a little while. Yeah. And, you know. But yeah, I think people liked them, you know.
Yeah.
Just a few people that I know told me like, oh yeah, you know, you got a nice voice, you know. I never knew you wrote songs, you know. That's, I've heard that a lot. And
yeah.
That kind of kept it hush-hush for a little while, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of, I'm trying to wrap my head around it because it's wild to think, you know, this is a different type of podcast for us. We're used, you know, everything you've done is in the span of a short period of time. And in that short period of time, there's been a pandemic that has not allowed you to play. You started writing at the beginning of that, which means, you know, you're still in the process of learning the voice and what you're doing. And it's fascinating. Like, it's a cool...
Really still at the beginning of your journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I got a long way to go, but, you know, it's been fun so far. You know?
Yeah, man, because you're just getting to the point where... You know, people are going to hear some of these songs probably for the first time, and you're going to be able to continue to develop. And it's fascinating to wrap my head around and to think that on the other side, what is your growth going to be to finally get back in front of people again? And, you know, because we're getting to that point now, you know, like we just talked about having our first live event. To where things are opening up and freeing up, man. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah. And you're moving pretty quickly.
No kidding.
Yeah, trying to, man. Just trying to, I was like, might as well just keep the ball rolling and just poster, you know, or because I started going back to open mics. Like in Cincinnati, they started opening up a little earlier in 2021. I think it was like it's probably a year after the pandemic. I would say April maybe, something a little bit like that. And I started going to a spot called Sitwell's. It's on Ludlow Avenue by Ludlow Garage and stuff, which is a cool venue. But I don't think I did any original material when I first started going to open mics at that brewery. Okay. I think I started doing it at Sitwell's, and that was definitely nerve-wracking. But
that makes it even more
I played
more
the
nervous.
Songs by myself for so long, I'm like, just close your eyes and just see what happens, you know?
Yeah. But, get a good response?
Yeah, it was a really cool
I
spot.
You did,
know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of... It's kind of like a UC, University of Cincinnati hangout. So everybody was really, you know, quiet and just kind of
really see cool. That,
respectful.
I see that Martin case sitting next to you. Is that the guitar you started with in 2018?
No, I started with like a little Ibanez my dad bought. You know, I think he bought it when I was probably 2 or 3. He wanted to start playing guitar, and he never did. And this was stored in the closet for a long time. And
all
right. I started with it. And, then I kind of got obsessed with the guitars, and I bought like 3 or 4 over a span of time, and just keeps, you know.
It's addicting.
It is.
It really is. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no guitars.
Yeah, I hear all the time, are you looking at guitars on Facebook Marketplace again?
No.
No.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at them. I don't want to buy one. I don't need anything else, but they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There might be something out there you don't know you need.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. Like, I can see 3 or 4 of them in that room right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we needed all those.
That's right. You got to have them all.
Yeah.
They all serve a different purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They all sound different in different amplifiers.
Yeah.
And all the tone of the woods are different.
Yeah. Let's listen to an Evan McMillian tune.
McMillian. He did it.
McMillan. McMillan. There we go. McMillan tune. I like Million, man. You might have to change it. That might be your stage name.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Tell us about Foolish Days.
Yeah, Foolish Days. That was probably one of the first songs I wrote. It was in a group of them. And Yeah, man, I kind of just had a melody in my head. I was listening to a few different artists, and it just kind of was inspired by them, you know, just the style of the song. And
yeah.
I've tried to think of what I wrote it about, because it was kind of one I wrote, and I didn't really think about it, you know.
Maybe we'll be able to tell you after we listen to
it. Yeah, yeah, see what your opinion is.
All right, let's check it out. Foolish Days.
See what I wrote?
Yeah.
Tyler Hood, man. He got that Hilfig's voice, don't he?
Yeah.
He got a tone to it. Tone. Yeah. You ever heard of Tyler Hood and the Hilfigs?
Oh, yeah, man.
Man.
Yeah.
I listened to an interview you guys did with the Hilfigs. That was cool.
Hilfigs,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
We need to get them back in here, by the way. Thanks for reminding me with your vocals.
Yeah. Do a five rhyme with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So where did you record that?
That was recorded at a friend's house. I got together with my friend Brady from Covered Bridge Media. We got together, and you know, he always mentioned something. He's like, yeah, man, if you ever want to record, you know, just let me know. And I figured, why not? You know, I had a little group of songs enough for an EP or something, so mm-hmm. I figured I'd get with them. And yeah, we recorded those, I think, beginning of February. We did those. He's brought some mics and stuff and set up. And
yeah, so he kind of just travels around and records different people, doesn't
he? Yes, he does.
Yeah, and puts the videos out.
Yeah, he makes you feel really comfortable and stuff. You know, it's really cool. And
yeah.
I'm glad I did it, you know.
Yeah. What do you got going on now as far as, you know, now that things are opening back up and we can watch live music and set up different shows? You talked about doing a lot of open mics and things. What do you have going now?
Coming up, I think, like, so next weekend I'll have a gig at a little bar near me called Flintlocks. I've been there once before and I played a three-hour set. And then the 26th of March, I'll be at a place called Lenoxburg Store. They're starting to do live music now, just within the past few months. And that's the only thing so far. I mean, maybe a few gigs in April already set up, and then maybe try to get on a festival, try to see if I can do that.
Oh, but, yeah. All right, you started writing in the pandemic. I'm back to this, dude. I'm still wrapping my head around it. All right, so 2020, February, so you say you write your first tune. What was it? What was the first tune, by the way?
It was the title track to the EP, One Way or Another.
So,
yeah.
Once you start writing, you're literally just 2 years in to writing. You're 24 months into your own thing. So, like, how many songs would you say you could put out, right? You're ready to record. You're ready to, put the stamp on, because that's one of the hardest things that you can do is actually say, especially as a songwriter, finalize. I'm done. This song is over with. It's done. It's perfect. Well, it's finished. I don't know if any songwriter goes, this song's perfect. This song's finished. We've got like four, right? So how many would you be willing to say are ready to go?
I mean, I think I'd probably play them out. The thing is, like with these, I'm definitely going to, I already have them recorded and stuff, but the other, like, you know, collection of songs, I'm still kind of debating on it. You know, I've played a few open mics, just kind of slowly bringing them in because, I mean, it's probably like, besides those six on the EP, I would say probably another like 30, 35.
Oh, so you're ready.
Oh, you got a bank.
You got a ton.
I just keep, you know, throwing them in there. It's like, okay, I got to make sure I write this down, write down the titles and make sure at least, you know, remember them and don't completely throw them away, you know?
Yeah. So he's like one of those groups that, yeah, we had 40 songs. We had to whittle it down to the best 10. Yeah. So that's a good spot to be in.
So and, you talked about when you first started writing, you know, sometimes lines would just come to you and you'd write those down. Is that how you tend to write now? Or do you, are you more intentional about sitting down to write?
It just kind of comes and goes. Like if sitting in the car maybe one day, you know, listen to another song by an artist and, you know, get somewhat inspired by that or, you know, or have a melody that I have written down, I've had for like months or weeks, you know, and finally start to think of some words to put with it. But
I wish I could do that.
I've tried to sit down and play guitar and, you know, try to write down lines at the same time. And for some reason, it just never works out. You know, it's got to be one thing or another, you know, for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of that. I think I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know, do you make time to write when you write? Do you go, I'm going to write from this time to this time?
Well, I don't write.
Well, when I do. You've written.
Yeah, when I do, I have to make time. Yeah, I got to sit down and say, I'm going to sit here and do some writing. Yeah. Most of the time. Now, I have had times like something will come to me and I'll record something on the phone. It's usually when I'm out hiking.
Is it?
Yeah.
When you're doing something else, not thinking about it.
Yeah, if I'm just out on a long walk, you know, and something will come to mind and I'll make a voice memo. But most of the time, it's like when we had the Songwriters Club, I had to just say, all right, I'm going to sit down here and write.
I did that during the songwriter group and that was the hardest writing I've ever done.
Yeah.
But it made me do it.
Well, it's a lot. You know, a lot of times it's a lot of sitting there like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know. This is not going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, then when it starts coming, the song comes out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just sitting there with nothing. But that's how it works for me.
I had like 14 pages for each song because I would start with something and have a terrible idea and then go to another page and have another terrible idea. But I sat down to do it, and it just didn't. It wasn't natural, because I'm like you. I can be in traffic, I can be walking down the road, I can be in the middle of a conversation with somebody, and if something hits, if I don't write it down or put a memo, it's gone. It's in the air. So I don't know, man. Writing's weird. We talk about that too. Writing is weird.
Yeah.
It is.
What's it tend to look like for you, Evan?
Do you ever go, I'm going to take this hour, the next 2 hours this week, and I'm going to write on these couple of days?
Not too much. I mean, I at least try to write at least once a day, even if it's one line. If something comes to me, just write it down anyways, you know, regardless if I think I'm going to use it or not, you know. But I mean, there's certain days, like if I have a, you know, late day at work, go in later, you know, I'll try to sit down in the morning or in the afternoon and try to either whittle on the guitar a little bit or, you know, write down a line or go through the notebook or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's whatever I feel is right, you know.
Mine's always guitar first.
Is it?
Like, if I was going to sit down and write, it wouldn't be lyrics.
So you have to have some type of melody in mind to write?
I guess not technically a melody. I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, I guess it's got a flow on the page for me, you know. If I feel like it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't flow, I'm like, something's missing here, you know?
Yeah.
But I've tried to sit down with guitar and I find myself after a while just noodling more than trying to write. And I'm like, oh gosh, I got to put this down, you know?
Yeah.
I can't remember if we asked you this or not, but when you picked up the guitar pretty, you know, right after high school, did you take lessons or anything or were you self-taught?
With that lady I was mentioning, half-sister, we probably did like, I want to say officially like maybe 4 or 5 lessons.
Oh, it's not taking lessons with somebody.
Yeah.
It's mostly just us talking, you know, because I'd never met her. And, you know, we were just talking about different things. And then she's like, okay, let me show you a C chord and a G chord and all that stuff. And what songs do you want to learn? I can try to learn them for you and we can do it that way. And
did you start off finger picking or?
It was early on, you know, there's, I wanted to play some of the Blaze Foley stuff and Jackson Frank stuff. So I was like asking her, you know, I was like, how do you do that? You know? Cause just thinking about it, like just hearing it, I was like, how do they finger pick? It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's its own thing, man.
I've been sitting up here trying to do like the ragtime type stuff.
Oh yeah,
thumb pick. I feel like a newborn.
You are.
Man. I'm like, is this ever going to come to me?
Yeah, it will.
Oh, I get it, man. I get it.
It will. That's learning that Doc Watson stuff that I've been messing with now.
Yeah.
It's. You know, syncopated different timings and all that stuff. One, your thumb doing one thing, everything else doing everything else.
The thing with that is like, am I ever going to be able to play at that speed?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but don't, yes, if you don't get frustrated and give up. It's all about time, man. I mean, it's like everything else, playing bluegrass, playing finger picking, playing anything. Banjo, even if you were to pick up the banjo, that finger roll, if once you get it, you got it, but it's just time. That's what maybe you look at like Beeblehauser and goes, I don't like you, man. You're too good at everything.
Yeah.
You can do everything.
But you know, one of the things we've learned in this podcast, Evan, and that's what I was going to ask you about. You know, we, almost everybody we talk to that are just phenomenal players, they talk about how much they practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And you've moved along pretty quickly. Like when you picked up the guitar in 2018, how much were you playing?
I mean, like the first few months, I was kind of slacking, left the guitar in the corner a little bit, would pick it up, play a chord, you know, or try to learn. But I guess there came a point probably early 2019 where I was like, okay, I want to do this. I want to get better. And I just started learning songs I liked, you know, by whether it was like Jackson Frank or Andrew Combs or Justin Townes Earl, you know, just songs I really loved. And of course, it wasn't easy at first, you know, especially with some of the finger picking, but yeah. I had to learn if I wanted to do those songs, you know. But yeah, I love finger picking. I love the sound. You know, it's something I've always been fascinated with and trying to learn new patterns, new, you know, stuff like that. But
oh, yeah.
Let's listen to another song. Tell us about, we mentioned it, but tell us about One Way or Another.
Yeah, One Way or Another. That was the first song I ever wrote. I think I wrote that end of February, early March after losing someone in January. You know, just we were cleaning out the house and stuff and I was just sitting there thinking about things, and I think I wrote the first verse and the chorus like there, and then probably like a week later I finished it. I didn't really edit it. I just had the chords and everything. I originally strummed it, but I've changed it to finger picking. But
all right,
that's where that song came from.
All right, let's check it out. Yeah.
The memories could go miles around with all the ones I've loved that are now in the ground. Playing cards in the living room or taking a ride through town. I wish I could still see that old Nova. It's a faded picture now. They're always on my mind. Seems wherever I go, I make decisions. Won't stop me from being alone. It's just one of those things. Can change lives forever. Those scars aren't hid well. But we'll get through this. Sometimes when I go down to the basement, I'm constantly reminded by your leather jacket hanging up, I should have framed it. Remember that time we got drunk at the fair? We had to walk all the way home, thought we'd never get there. They're always on my mind. Seems wherever I go, I make decisions that won't stop me from feeling alone. It's just one of those things can change lives forever. Those scars aren't hid well. We'll get through this one way or another.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate
that's
it.
Pretty.
After you told us you lost somebody in that song, and then you listen to the lyrics, you can tell that's a pretty meaningful song to you.
Yeah.
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 It felt right coming out, so I'm like, I just need to finish it, write it, you know?
A lot of visuals in that song that you can just follow along with, too.
Yeah. Telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the leather jacket hanging. Should have been put it in the frame. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Getting drunk at the California Kentucky Fair.
Well, it'd be Alexandria has a fair every year. They call it like the Campbell County Fair or whatever, because that's the county it's in. But yeah, it's just down the street from there. So you know, we always went there, and my whole life, you know, always went there. And
was this a friend or a family member or?
My uncle.
Your uncle.
Okay. I started hanging out with him when I was like 13 or 14, and he was a big Bob Dylan fan, and there's a lot of local guys like Lonnie Mack. He's a big Lonnie Mack fan.
Lonnie Mack, man. Oh, yeah.
So he introduced me to him and just, you know, Taj Mahal, Wilson Pickett, you know, Neil Young, man. I mean, all that stuff. And that's what really got me.
Okay. So
got
he
me
influenced
interested.
Your music also a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lonnie Mack, man. Nobody brings up Lonnie Mack.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, why isn't he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet?
Lonnie Mack, man. He's awesome.
So our listeners that want to follow your journey here, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, just Evan McMillan, McMillian. And then I got Facebook, YouTube, stuff like that. And then hopefully coming up here within the next month or so, I'll have some stuff on Spotify. I'll probably release a single first and then release the full EP after that.
Okay. Do you know what your next release is going to be? Or can you say?
Yeah, it's going to be a... I'll release a single. I'll probably release Forgotten Past as a single. I think I've already got the artwork and stuff picked out. And... yeah, that'll be on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, stuff like that.
Awesome.
And probably wait maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that and just release a full-length EP.
Okay.
But yeah, I got it mastered from Mike Montgomery at Candyland Studios in Cincinnati, and he did a really good job as well.
So everything's ready to go, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. I already got already did that and got it done. And thankfully, Brady did those recordings with me in February, so we already had those mixed and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cool. Here we go.
Well, cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, we're going to go out. We're going to close the podcast with listening to Janie. Tell us about Janie.
Yeah. So that song, when I wrote it, I was kind of inspired by another song and just changed the chords and the melody and stuff like that up. But it was kind of like, I guess I can say it. It was kind of influenced by Bob Dylan's song, Girl from the North Country.
Okay.
I was listening to that song and then it kind of was inspired by that.
Awesome.
From what I can remember when I wrote it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, just listened to that song for a while and just had that melody in my head and then just wrote down the words and there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, keep it going, Evan, man. You got a good thing going here in a pretty short period of time.
No doubt.
Yeah, thank you guys.
We appreciate you talking with us and we're going to stick around and shoot some one-shot videos now.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Yeah, thanks.
Janie, my love, it's a rocky shore, and I'm not one for asking, can I have a little certain it's a startling scene. It's what you get living. Nice house, nice car, and shiny shoes. But your soul is always followed by the blues. A burden's been carried these twisted years. Watching wallpaper peel. Janie, my love, I know it's not enough. And if you want anything, I'm on the other line just cutting up. So when you're laying there, waiting in the dark, needing that little spark, think on tomorrow just like they say, for that's all that's left here for us to take.